Hey there, this is Get Legit Law and Shit, and I'm Emily D. Baker, badass lawyer for online business. I've been a licensed attorney for over 15 years, and I'm a former prosecutor. So yeah, I know some shit, and we're gonna talk about the legal shit you need to know. But don't worry, this is not another boring business podcast. So let's get started. Well, I told you there was going to be a part two to the LuLaRoe drama, and here we are for the follow-up. So in January 2019, the state of Washington attempted to cancel LuLaRoe, and we're going to talk about this lawsuit and what it means, because it touches on one of the things people love to talk about when it comes to multi-level marketing. People want to say the words. Say it with me. Pyramid scheme. People want to talk about multi-level marketing companies being a pyramid scheme. Well, the state of Washington sued LuLaRoe for being a pyramid scheme. That's not the only claim in the lawsuit. It's pyramid scheme and deceptive claims, which is a marketing distinction. But yes, they did sue LuLaRoe for being a pyramid scheme. So let's talk about this state of Washington lawsuit. And then we're going to talk about the status of the California lawsuit, the $48 million lawsuit. So let's go to Washington first, because this is the first state that has sued LuLaRoe. The Attorney General of the state of Washington filed this lawsuit in January. I'll link in the show notes the press release from the state of Washington so you can look at it for yourself if you are curious. So this is filed under state law. This is not filed under federal law. There are two different legal systems in the United States. A lot of the laws are similar federally and statewide, but you get things that are different. Like, you know, marijuana is legal in places like California and Washington and not legal federally. So you get differences in laws between the states and the federal government, but the pyramid scheme law is generally similar in the way it's operated at the state level and at the federal level. And the same with the consumer protection laws. A lot of the consumer protection laws are the same. And on the federal level, the consumer protection laws deal with things very similar to on the state level. Proper advertising claims, not being able to say that like something does things it doesn't do, and the way you're allowed to market, the way you're not allowed to market to children, those sorts of things. And we can do a whole episode on what is allowed and what's proper marketing. Trust me, I will. But that is for another day. But that is where this deceptive claims fits in, is under the Consumer Protection Act. So the laws that they're suing regarding LuLaRoe are the Consumer Protection Act in Washington and the Anti-Pyramid Promotional Scheme Act in Washington. So can't be deceptive to the public, can't run a pyramid scheme. And just, I'm making some assumptions here and jumping in, but I should actually back up for a moment and just say the process of a lawsuit in the United States may be something you're not familiar with. And that is okay. It's something I'm well too familiar with. But we joke in our society, especially here in the United States, that you can kind of sue anyone for anything. And it feels like it's true. But for there to be a lawsuit, there has to be a rule or a law that is broken. And there are some very broad laws, like breach of contract. It's like, we had a contract. It said do A. You didn't. You suck. I'm going to sue you. But there has to be a rule governing it. There has to be some kind of law governing it. So it can't just be like LuLaRoe's icky and I'm mad, so I want to sue you. There has to be something that they breached. There has to be a rule that they broke so that there can be a lawsuit under that rule. And that simplifies it way down. Like, I'm simplifying it more than Legally Blonde here, where I'm saying there has to be a rule. There also has to be like subject matter jurisdiction and actual jurisdiction, and all these other things. There's lots of other things required for a lawsuit, but to simplify it, there has to be a rule. The rule has to be broken, or you have to have a reasonable belief that the rule's broken to file the lawsuit. So in civil, the process is a little bit different than it is in criminal. And we're not going to get into criminal today. We'll talk about criminals in another episode. When we talk about the college admission scandals, we'll get into a little bit of what the criminal procedure looks like on a state and federal level. So the claims are that LuLaRoe violated the Pyramid Scheme Act of Washington and the Consumer Protection Act in Washington. The state sued, of course, all the corporations, but then sued the founders of LuLaRoe as individuals as well, which is super common practice. Like, there's nothing really unusual or extraordinary about this lawsuit. It's a pretty cut and dry, I would say, lawsuit. What's extraordinary about it is they're actually going after LuLaRoe for being a pyramid scheme. Like, the fact that they're connecting the actions of LuLaRoe under this act is really what's extraordinary about it. There have not been a ton of pyramid scheme lawsuits in recent memory. So part of this are the claims. The unlawful compensation structure, which really is the ground hold of the pyramid scheme. It's where the general gist of the pyramid scheme is that the bulk of your compensation and the bulk of your money can't come from recruiting other people below you. So when the entire scheme is just built on getting money from individuals below you, that is a problem. There generally has to be a good sold. And this lawsuit goes into detail about how LuLaRoe was not properly selling goods. They were forcing their resellers to purchase all the goods. So the goods weren't really being sold to consumers. When you look at other network marketing companies, companies like Arbonne, Monat, I'm sorry, I don't know which one it is. One of those two. And then your OGs like Tupperware and Mary Kay, they make compensation on their downline or the people below them on their sales of goods, but also on their own sales of good to end consumer. So if you're with a company that sells shampoo, a lot of your money is going to come from how much shampoo you sell to end users, consumers, and then how much the people on your team also sell to consumers. The problem with LuLaRoe is that the structure was set up for how much you as the reseller purchase and how much your team purchases. So how much they purchase for themselves, not how much they're selling to end consumers. So it's like the good is almost irrelevant because the company's making all the money without the good being sold to an end consumer. And that was the big, big problem. The lawsuit really talks about the onboarding process that's $2,000 to $9,000 that the training materials, and they put them in, like there's photocopies in the lawsuit of the training materials showing that the training materials just actually look like a pyramid, like the pictures actually look like a pyramid, but they show how you can move up in LuLaRoe based on how many people are underneath you. So all of the training materials that are highlighted in this lawsuit show you moving up in the company based on how many people are on your team underneath you and how many people they are recruiting. None of this really talks about how much they are selling to end consumers. It all talks about how much they are purchasing. The lawsuit goes into the income report and talks about the income earned through the leadership bonus plan, which is what they call their payment structure. And the lawsuit highlights this leadership conference, and I'm going to read from the lawsuit really quickly, but it highlights this leadership conference called Be the Light, hosted in Riverside, which is where LuLaRoe is headquartered out here in California, from January 2017, where one of the named defendants, one of the people who was a part of LuLaRoe and was hurt by this, the defendant was asking consultants to state their total retail sales and bonus checks. And consultants announced the amounts of their bonus check, which ranged from $85,000 to like $300,000. And those are their bonuses. And then their monthly retail sales ranged from $12,000 to $25,000. So even at the convention, the company was focused on how much you're earning from bonus, and bonus is the money you're earning from the people on your team versus how much you're earning from retail sales. The difference between $300,000 and $25,000 is staggering. And that is part of why the Pyramid Scheme Act was the, you know, chosen vehicle to sue LuLaRoe, because you can't do that. And I know that LuLaRoe tried really hard to change their structure, but the fact of the matter is, when LuLaRoe was at its height, this is how it was set up. It was set up that consultants were making the bulk of their money from purchasing their own product and from the people on their team purchasing their own product, not from selling the product. So I, you know, assuming the things in the lawsuit alleged are true, it's pretty damaging to LuLaRoe. And I am curious how much longer LuLaRoe will survive. I'm truthfully shocked that LuLaRoe has not claimed bankruptcy yet, but I think that the founders don't want to give up their lifestyle. That is my opinion. So getting deeper into this lawsuit in Washington, they talk about the way LuLaRoe markets, and they talk about the business opportunity and income claims. And these are the deceptive claims that I talked about. You are limited in the things you can claim when you market to people to buy into an opportunity, to buy a product, to buy online. And there is a lot of this being done poorly in the online space. And it's something that pisses me off. It just pisses me off. When you guys know what I'm talking about, those fucking Facebook ads with like some dude by a Porsche and he's like, I made $700,000 last month. Click into my funnel to find out how. God, I hate that shit. It just makes me want to barf. I hate it. It feels slimy. Income claims are inappropriate, especially when you're guaranteeing somebody like, join my company and you're going to make, you know, $70,000 to $300,000 a month. You can't promise people that kind of income or any kind of income. You can't make income claim promises unless you're hiring them as an employee and you're like, your salary is this. When you are marketing to them, you cannot make those kinds of claims. So the part of the LuLaRoe claims that the lawsuit takes issue with is that they make tons of these lifestyle claims. Full-time income on part-time work. Make full-time income by being a LuLaRoe independent business owner. Earn full-time income for part-time work. And then break down how to do that. And then the lawsuit breaks out all of these opportunity calls, all of the kind of the sales calls, and says, quotes in these, I imagine that the attorney general has these all recorded and will use them, because they quote out some of these sales calls in the lawsuit and say things like, quote, I mean, I could blow your mind away by telling you that we have over 100 people that make a lot of money, like between $50,000 to $500,000 a month. And I'm not lying. That is an inappropriate income claim, brah. You can't promise people that that's what they're going to make. So one of the other quotes in here that gets me is, remember the CEO I told you about? The CEO who said, basically, fuck off. I'm going to take my money and run away to the Bahamas. I'll take my couple $100 million and run away to the Bahamas, and I'm not paying, you know, my suppliers who provided all of the product that I sold to my consultants who I sold a load of shit. That guy, this is also what he said. In the Washington lawsuit, he says, what really affects me is when women call me and say, my husband just lost his job, so I guess I'm in it. It referring to LuLaRoe. Back to the quote. And then they say, do you think I can do it, Deanne? And I get my pom-poms out and I say, but don't you see, this is the answer. This is easy. This is fun. This is something you guys can do together, and he can watch the kids while you go and do your parties. This is a business that is going to bring in a lot of money for you. A lot of money. I mean, a lot. I'm going to say that over. You can't make those kinds of claims. The lawsuit goes on to say that the defendant's training materials also emphasized recruiting over sales, over the retail sales to end consumers. And it does. It just showed over and over and over to share the opportunity to bring people in, to share success stories, and then how much you make in the bonus income by bringing people in. I don't doubt that people made a lot of money at the beginning of LuLaRoe. The reason pyramid schemes are illegal is because the people who get in early and are at the top make a shit ton of money, and then everybody else just gets their savings taken, you know, Bernie Madoff style. So it all goes into the same kind of thought as the deceptive claims. Like, you can't lie to people to do something that they physically cannot do. So the kind of money that was being made, they physically can't do because A, how many consultants there were at the time, B, how many consultants there were saturated in an area, and C, with selling to end users, there's only so much money you can make when you buy clothes at wholesale and sell them at resale. And that's not the $300,000 a month. That's not the $500,000 a month. That's not coming from reselling shit tons of leggings. That's coming from bringing on a bunch of consultants under you, and they're spending their money to buy all that clothing. So the people who made a ton of money in LuLaRoe made it off of other women, often moms, purchasing clothing to resell on Facebook that didn't sell. They also, in the lawsuit, point out what I talked about in the last episode about the fact that the consultants, the resellers, can't choose their inventory. The lawsuit points out that the problem was inventory was sold in these sets and they didn't get to choose the size, the print, the type of item, like, you know, pants versus shirts versus dresses. And when things were released that were a big deal, when there was like a, there was a big Disney collaboration. And when that was released, there were some prints that were more popular than other prints. And consultants were told, if you want a chance to resell these desirable limited release items, just keep buying more. Keep buying more and hope that you'll receive the item that you want in a print that you want in the size that you want. Just keep buying more. And that was the solution that this company gave to its consultants over and over and over again. And this lawsuit gets into it over and over and over again, that the company's solution was buy more, buy more, buy more. Buying more is never the solution, LuLaRoe. And then when they changed the procedure for being able to return items and not being able to have the sales when you wanted to close down your shop, it just screwed people over. And the state of Washington is also salty about it because they pull all of it out and talk about how resellers were not allowed to resell or return. So that is the basis of the Washington suit. The pyramid, because you can't make the money that they're claiming that you make. The money that you're making is not made off of end user sales. The money's being made off of people below you and their own purchases, which is not a lot different than buying into a pyramid scheme. Yes, there's merchandise, but the merchandise isn't being sold to consumers, and the money's not being made off of what's sold to consumers. The money's being made off of the consultants purchasing their own shit. That is the heart of the Washington claim. I actually went into the court's system to see where this case was at, because it's going to be a year old here in January 2020, and they are still going through law in motion. So the defendants, LuLaRoe, and the individuals behind LuLaRoe and all of their other LLCs, because LuLaRoe is moving money between multiple corporate formations, are fighting over subpoenas for documents and dates for things and that sort of thing. So they have some more court dates coming up at the end of October 2019. They don't have a court date, trial date set yet on calendar. So they are going through the extensive amount of law in motion. This case will be years in the making. Once again, I will be shocked if this case sees through prior to LuLaRoe going bankrupt. That's my opinion based on the amount of lawsuits that are outstanding. But this company keeps trucking. Don't give them any money. Like, don't buy into being a consultant on a company that's on shaky standing at the moment. That's for certain. And finally, because we are getting a bit long, and I try to keep these like easily accessible and not super lengthy, but we didn't get to finish up with the California lawsuit from Providence Industries. So the Providence Industries lawsuit, not surprisingly, is doing the exact same thing that the Washington lawsuit is doing. It is stuck in a very, very long line of legal motion. So LuLaRoe is fighting every single subpoena that is being sent out by the plaintiff, Providence Industries. So from what I found on the court's websites through the city of Riverside, which is where that particular suit, the California suit, the $48 million suit is filed, LuLaRoe is objecting to all of the subpoenas being sent out. So what happens with subpoenas is generally the people who need to know stuff, which is the plaintiff, because the defendant knows all this stuff. They have access to their own bank accounts and access to ledgers and access to documents. The plaintiffs don't. So the plaintiffs are trying to subpoena all these records so they can see what's actually happening monetarily. And LuLaRoe is objecting to all of them. So a judge is going to have to sit there and a bunch of lawyers are going to argue over, but we need this information to make our case. And LuLaRoe is going to say, no, you don't. You have what you need. Bleh. And then a judge is going to have to say, no, turn this over, don't turn that over. So it looks like the stance of LuLaRoe from the two lawsuits I have looked into in depth is that they are going to fight tooth and nail on everything. Here is something I have learned in my legal career. There is a way that narcissists behave when it comes to law, whether it's criminal or whether it's civil. They don't believe it is them. They believe that everyone around them is wrong, and they will fight to the ends of the earth to prove it. And even if they lose, which in this case, I mean, I'd be shocked if they don't lose a lot of this. When you don't pay your invoices, you have to pay. Like that, that's that. But they will fight to the ends of the earth. And then even when a judge says, you owe this, they will still be like, that judge is wrong. That judge is stupid. It's not me. It's them. It's everyone else. It's not me. This is such a classic narcissistic pattern of behavior. And the quote from the Providence Industries California $48 million lawsuit that I'm not paying you till judge says I have to and I'll take my money and fuck off to the Bahamas is such a narcissistic thing to say. It's just giving you kind of the background that you need to understand the way these lawsuits are going to go. And the way these lawsuits are going to go is that LuLaRoe is going to use every ounce of cash that they have in that company to fight all of these lawsuits because the CEO feels personally under attack. I would love to say that lawyers will look at their client and be like, yo, bro, you're so wrong on this one. Stop it. And then the client would listen and they would get to do that. Even if the lawyer looks at the client and says, this isn't going to go well, when the client says, we're going to fight to the death, that's what you got to do. Or you drop the case if you can. But there are plenty of lawyers who will take your money to the end of the earth and fight with you because they're like, yeah, screw it, let's go. So it's very interesting to me, the narcissistic attitude happening with LuLaRoe and the way they are going after this lawsuit and the way they are fighting every single subpoena. Look, man, bank records are appropriate when you're not paying stuff. Just stop it. Stop arguing over every single subpoena. So these cases are going to be years in the fighting. But what's interesting is the glimpses we get into what's really going on behind the scenes. And what's really going on here is a narcissistic man decided he was going to make a whole shit ton of money on the backs of women that wanted to be a part of something that felt special, felt like their own business, felt like they got to have a group, they belonged, they were doing something that made them feel good, they got to be with friends, and they were bringing some money home. Those feelings from the women aren't wrong. This company not giving a shit about the women that bought into it is what's wrong. And that is what pisses me off the most. Because pay your resellers, pay the people that tried to do returns, and you wouldn't give them returns. Pay out everything that you have in the company to the people who believed in you. Stop using it to fight subpoenas that are probably valid. That's all I got to say about LuLaRoe. So I will talk to you guys in the next one. Have a good one.